Hi, everyone. It's Judy Warner. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today, joining us is Lawrence Romine, the VP of Marketing here at Altium. I've asked Lawrence to join us today so we can tell you all about what's coming in Altium Live Virtual Summit this year. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Well, hi, Lawrence. Nice to virtually see you again.
Yes, Judy, nice to virtually see you again. It's been at least 15, 20 minutes since we've last seen each other.
I think we've already had like three meetings today or something. Yeah. Sure. But I haven't seen your face live for 6 months or something.
No, it's been
crazy.
5 months, I think. Yeah. You certainly haven't probably seen me wearing a proper shirt
no.
in some months either.
Well,
probably
me
since
neither.
Our last podcast.
Yeah. Like I do this for the podcast as well. So. Crazy time. So, yeah, well, sure. Lawrence, thanks so much for making time for us. I know you're ridiculously busy, but I did want to sort of give our listeners a little sense of what to expect with Altium Live now that the website's up, registration's open, and it's free. So before we get rolling on that, you've been on the podcast a few times, so many people know about your background, but for those who don't have a sense of it, which is probably everybody,
sure.
What does a vice president of marketing do at Altium?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question, Judy. A lot, I would say. And I mean, you know, and it suits me. Well, as you know, Judy, I have a lot of sort of interests. And I think in 2020, marketing is I would say much more of an engineering sort of job. And, you know, my background in my early career was that in engineering. In my personal life, I still do a lot of personal, you know, projects, building things, making things. Mechanics is really my first passion, but I have an electrical engineering background in my career. And so it suits me just fine. I mean, it's really, look, I like the pressure of carrying a sales number. So I definitely do that. And it's a big number. Obviously, it's pretty much the entire number of the company, which is great. I relish that pressure. Obviously, digital marketing is a huge part of it. And that's where the engineering elements come in and sort of problem solving, analytical, sort of frontal cortex. But it also engages my limbic system as well, because there is some sort of psychology and human behavior involved in it. And then when we talk about, you know, Altium Live, and some of the other things we're working on as a marketing function, which you're well aware of, when we talk about Altium Academy, I really enjoy bringing things to people that they really want. And for me, it's about bringing, experiences, content experiences around knowledge and education, around printed circuit board design and engineering, and bringing it to those folks, whether or not they're going to be an Altium customer or they already are an Altium customer, or whether or not there will ever be an Altium customer. And so for me, it's just great. I have a short attention span, and it allows me to sort of poke my head into really all facets of the business, the product, the customers, the selling, the technical elements of marketing, the more sort of fluffy elements of marketing. I love it. I love it a lot. I really do.
Well, it does suit you, and you know, I have to, you know, be nice to the boss and all, but
sure.
But I really do mean it. It's nice to have someone at the helm of our marketing organization who is a practitioner, so to speak, and inclined in the same ways that I think that our customers are. And I think that brings a nice level of authenticity to our brand and a lot of empathy, right, for solving those problems.
Look, I would, and I said this before, and you believe it, don't believe it, but, you know, if you had asked me when I was, I guess, old enough to have a meaningful sort of understanding of the world, sort of 13, I think, is when you begin to wake up. And that's about what sticks out to me. If you had asked me what I wanted to do, I would have described this job. I really, really would have, being very close to the sort of artistry of engineering, but also being very attached to the business elements of it. You can ask my parents if you want, Judy. You know, technical sales was always on my list of things to do. And in marketing, I put sales in that. So I love what I do. I think it's great. And I think doing it at Altium is even more fortunate. I have even more gratitude for it because of Altium.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before that, you know, you used to have hair before working at Altium, and
true.
And I resolve all my gray hair with hair coloring. So it's not for the faint of heart, but I think that universally we love the work. And if you don't like sort of the grind of it, well, you'll churn out of here pretty quick, but it is very exciting work. It's very cutting edge, and we really do love our customers. And
absolutely.
And so
if it's for you, it is for you. 100%. Working here at Altium, and the people, we have a really good team. I would say this is the strongest group we've had in our marketing department, Judy, ever. Yeah. I mean, universally, every player is just, you know, they're grinders. They really relish the challenge, and they just get after it every day. And that's, it's really fun.
Yeah. I love that sense of just kind of personal ownership that everybody takes. It's not like, tell me what to do, boss. Right. It's like, you know, we're all like individual stakeholders. Right. And so it's really fun place to work. So let's talk about in relation to your role as the VP of marketing, what's your relation then specifically to Altium Live? And then we'll, after you answer that question, we'll just go into a really organic conversation.
Well, you know, look, Altium Live is something I think famously now, I believe this will be year four now, isn't it, Judy?
Yeah. Yep. Year four.
So year one, as you well know, was conceived, created and delivered in about a 6 to 8 week period of time. And that was a live event. And that was in two locations, one in Munich at the Westin from memory. And the other one was here in San Diego in Mission Bay at the Hilton, I believe, on the bay there. And I'll be honest with you, Judy, I was not as strong a believer in Altium Live when it was, and mostly because I was sort of involved in obviously the creation of it and the delivery of it. And it was like 6 weeks. I was obviously in a different position at the time. It was like 6 weeks. But look, that first year, seeing and experiencing and feeling the customers and people at the event, and just how much they really soaked up the information and appreciated the information. And of course, we did the robot challenge that year, famously, the first year. Look, to me, this is something that as long as I have a say, we'll be doing here at Altium, because I really do think that it allows us to connect with the customers in a way that we otherwise wouldn't, and get a real, by the way, understanding of the users and provide a forum for them. And as you know, Judy, as someone that works in the marketing department, we really go out of our way to make Altium Live about the users and not about Altium at all. You know, we go really bullish in making it a non-commercial event. And, you know, for me, I feel like you're obviously with Sarah and Ben are really the spiritual leaders of it, but I'm the guy that sort of fights for it at the executive level to make sure that this is something that we absolutely must continue to do. And look, fortunately for all of us, that the rest of the executive team absolutely understand that.
It took a while to win them over, I think. But to your point, I remember talking to people in that first year, which for me personally, Lawrence, is like, I think I joined in March of that year. And it was like Ted at the time, Ted Pawella was the CMO. And he's like, yeah, Judy, what you need to do, we need a user conference. So just throw that together. And in two countries and, you know, whatever. And I feel like, Lawrence, you're a little bit like a dad. Like every time you tell the story, I feel like the window of how quickly we did it gets shorter and shorter. But yeah. It was unbelievably fast. And I remember when I first started planning it and spearheading it, people, our customers I talked about, they're like, oh yeah, I've been to these things with you EDA tool people. So it's just a thinly failed sales pitch.
Right.
And luckily Ted was like, no, we're not doing that. And I was like, no, we can't do that. And, you know, we all were pretty lockstep from the beginning. And as you said, you can't really explain it. It's an experience. There's actually like energy in the room that you cannot describe. You have to feel it. And I think that everyone there knew, like, oh my gosh, this is our thing. This is for us.
Yeah, there's two points I'd make there, Judy. So first of all, you know, we were so bullish on making it non-commercial that when we received the survey results back the first year,
that cracked me up.
The number one thing they asked for was, hey, we want more Altium content. they wanted more stuff about us. And the second thing I'd say is that energy you're talking about. You know, look, for a long time here, I was and still am very heavily involved in sort of setting the sales sort of approach. And I still talk to a lot of the salespeople and I think I play a bit of a sort of a fatherly figure in that area of the business still. And, you know, for new people that come into the industry that are not necessarily coming from an engineering background or have experience. And I always ask them, you know, tell me your impression. What do you think of an engineer? And they always have sort of in one word, right? And then the adjectives come and say, oh, they're sort of introverted, they're sort of quiet. And of course, I say, you're absolutely wrong. You get a group of these guys and gals in a room together, like-minded people, and you will see some of the most passionate individuals that you'll ever meet. And that's, I think, the key word I see at Altium Live is the passion that the individuals in those rooms and in those halls have for what it is they do. I think it's stronger, as strong as it is in any industry. And this is, as I said, not something that you accidentally become an engineer or a PCB designer. It's almost something you're born into or you sort of have a calling, my opinion.
And well, I say this
there, you know,
100%. And I say this on the podcast all the time that you're born one, like it's hardwired. And it's the only profession that I know of where people repetitively tell me, I knew I wanted to do this when I was 4, 5, 6, like so young. And I can't think of any other career where people consistently say, I knew I wanted to be this thing when I was 5. I think it's such a unique dynamic. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, Lawrence, but that first year, I don't know if it was the first year or the second year. It may have been the second year because we were at Lowe's. I was out on the, you know, sunshiny veranda and we were having lunch and I was catching a quick bite and I was going through the food line there on the patio and I got to the end and someone turned to me and recognized me and he just said to me, I cannot believe this. I feel so special. And I looked across the horizon at the, you know, glinting water of Coronado. And I said, isn't this something? He goes, or I thought maybe he meant the food. He goes, no, this like conference,
personally,
this is for us. I was like, oh, it was the most, I'll never forget it because I was like, we did it. Like that's what we intended to do, but it's a little bit of a shot in the dark.
No, it is, but it's interesting, Judy. That's another element of it, which is I do think, because I've read some industry sort of surveys, and you can see word clouds on this as well, where they talk about engineers are definitely underappreciated. And I don't think, you know, I remember when I always felt as a young person and as a single person, and this might be too much information, but I always felt like you know, when you're single, you just want to, you know, you want to date, right? You want to meet women as a man. And I always felt like my engineering sort of prowess would somehow be attractive in a dating capacity. It absolutely was not.
I'm like, you're the only one on planet Earth who I think thinks that. Well, I couldn't agree with you more on the underappreciation part. And because of my tenure in the industry, you know, calling on Lawrence, huge OEMs, right? You know, at SpaceX, Northrop Grumman, like huge OEMs. Sure. And here's, you know, the person could be VP of engineering or a whole department or whatever. But the frustration of the people that they had to fight internally and how they were marginalized internally in the battles that they had to do. And really, I was doing battle with them. Like, I was the, like, go tell purchasing, go tell my manager, whatever, and really standing in that gap. And it gave me so much empathy, which makes me feel somehow that I'm perfectly equipped to do what I get to do at Altium because all the bullets I took, you know, much younger and being in the trenches. So,
you know, Judy, if you look at that story in many ways, probably not even in a many, almost in all ways, that is really the sort of foundation of Altium's rise. You know, which is, if you look at the way we've, at least as long as I've been involved with the company, which is now 15 years, and initially, you know, nobody knew who we were, that sort of thing. But since I've been with the organization, we always focused on our marketing, our selling motions, pretty much every, and of course the product for sure, always directed at the actual engineer or PCB designer, the user of the software. You know, you go to our website today and we don't talk about cheaper, smaller, faster. We don't talk about corporate objectives. Although obviously those are enhanced by using our product, but the people that actually, you know, are on the sort of business end of that, the engineers and the designers, you know, that's our group of people. That's our guys and gals that we target, that we work with. And Altium Live, in my opinion, is just sort of an extension of that. And it's, and look, when, to your point, Judy, when people recognize it or they sort of confirm that for us, it does feel good. It does feel good because I don't
so
think
good.
That
it's like,
others are doing that, right?
Well, it's like, I feel like what people, the feedback they give me is just like, you get me, you know, you value my contribution. You understand, you know, where my pain points are and you're helping me, you know? Right. And so, I mean, that's what attracted me to want to join Altium is sort of this, everybody loves the company that stands up for the underdog, right? And Altium has a long, rich history, sort of a standing in that gap and giving those sort of marginalized community of people tools and access. And so
you
I think
it's interesting, Judy. I remember, that was, so in fact, that's how you came to Altium, is you interviewed me and we had this conversation for a story in iConnect about our approach. And that was the focus on the user. I do remember that now. And so you probably endured a 45-minute soapbox speech about the users being the most important people in our industry. And I think you joined the organization 3 or 4 weeks later.
I did. I mean, it was a combination of everything you articulated in that interview. And then there was also this really poignant moment where you and I met with Henry Potts and I was going to interview him first. And then he said, I can't do this right now. I'm handing you over to Lawrence. And so we were just getting acquainted. And then, you know, I was learning about you and then you both kind of turned to me and say, what about you? And then I told you my story. Well, I've been getting beat up in the trenches with PCB designers for this many years. And so we found the connection. And I remember Henry, who is never impressed with anything, sits up in his chair, like literally sits up in his chair. And I was telling him about the writing and the blogging, like trying to fill that place from a journalistic standpoint. And I said, it's so funny, like people like seem to know me and resonate with me. And he leaned up in his chair and he said, it's because you gave them a voice.
Yeah.
And so the combination of Henry recognized that engineers need a voice, and then you describing in a really detailed manner why and how you marketed to the one guy getting beat up, or gal mm-hmm. getting beat up in the corner. I was like, I could totally do some fun stuff here. And the rest is history. Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is, 2020 and how.
We're not going to talk about politics, are we, Judy?
No, no politics, no religion, no news, nothing. No, but we are going to talk about sort of the pros and cons of taking an event. And we've just described sort of this high touch event that's run by this energy, right? And all of that, like, what are the pros and cons in this season, or maybe the risks of going virtual? And
I have thoughts, as you know, I have thoughts on most things, Judy. I'd say the biggest pro, without a doubt, is the fact that we can offer it for zero cost. Okay, so, and you know this, Judy, and maybe the listeners or viewers can believe it, but they should, because I mean this. Look, but for the overhead we incur at Altium Live, and it's significant because, you know, we do it right in the face-to-face events, I should say. I would absolutely, and you know this behind the scenes, I've advocated to make it free. But, you know, obviously the cost is great. And we also, as you know, we do it first class because we only want our attendees to be appreciated, feel like they're appreciated. So obviously being able to do it virtually, I think gives us a lot more flexibility in, obviously how the attendees can consume the materials, but for free. I mean, and you see this already, we haven't even really marketed it yet. And we're already, like, each day exponentially more people are registering, and that's great. And that's great. And I really do hope, sort of selfishly, but also unselfishly, that we're getting a lot of people registering that aren't actually Altium Designer customers and users today, because the content, as you know, Judy, is universal, and we go out of our way to try to make it universal and agnostic to your tool of choice. And obviously, selfishly, just to be perfectly transparent, obviously, that's a marketing opportunity for us as well. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as we are growing the PCB market space, I'm absolutely a fan of that. And I think that virtual allows us that opportunity, because I think there's a lot more skepticism in spending money. And also traveling is not for everybody, those sorts of things. So, and look, the flexibility and the reach that the free element provides, I think, is really obviously great. The cons is, you know, can we create that magic? And I think there's no other way to describe it. When you're there at Altium Live, it's just people are smiling and they're enjoying the content and they're enjoying each other's company. They're enjoying being in a room of like-minded individuals. Obviously, we do a great job of feeding them and drinking them.
Well, I have to say right there, you know, Altium is used to doing events really high class and well for many, many years. However, what I will tell you, and you know this, Lawrence, PCB designers have never been treated so well or got this lavish of a conference at this price point particularly. And so just like the guy in the patio saying, I feel so special, it's because we gave him, you know, we rolled out the red carpet. And that makes me so happy, like, to be able to do that for these people. So anyways, continue with the
well that's
the
trick, right,
Judy? Yeah, right.
Well, that's the trick. And look, for me, that's the only con. I think, honestly, you know, look, as much as it's an opportunity for us to it is a marketing event, of course it is, but we do make it non-commercial. It's not a timeshare proposition, as you well know. But you know, that experience is what I think is going to be difficult to duplicate. It really is. I mean, as much as pragmatically the content's great and all those sorts of things when you're at the live event, I do think people genuinely just like, wow, this is nice. It's a nice thing that Altium does, and it's a hell of a reasonable price point. It really is. If you factor in the training and the locations are always great. So, you know, we are, as you know, Judy, we're really working hard behind the scenes to try and do some things that would try to mimic that Altium Live experience. And we'll see. I would say this, and you know this, if anybody can pull it off, it would be us. And we are creative, and I think, you know, sign up and you tell us, you know, register, it's free, consume the content, you know, attend and then do some of the more creative things that we're lining up and give us some feedback.
Okay. So let's talk about, I agree with you. We are trying so hard to not make it because some of us on the core team have attended these, virtual sure. things, and we're like, oh, ho hum. Like,
right.
for every 10, there's one good and nine bad, where it's like sure. just so devoid of sort of the human touch. And so mm-hmm. we are doing a lot of things. One of the things I'm excited about, I just had this will come out after Eli Hughes, but you know, mm-hmm. Eli Hughes will be one of our keynotes. And he works with T-Zero, who has created an acoustic sensor yeah. to help with brewing beer. And yeah. so we were on a meeting yesterday, and I think we have, I showed him, there's a brewery called Tin Whiskers that was started by two EMS guys. Yeah. And so I showed Eli that website. He wrote it down. He goes, oh my gosh, my partners are going to freak out. We will be on the phone with them tomorrow. And really? So, really, so they're going to hook up with the Tin Whiskers.
That's great.
I know. And then Eli is going to probably host a happy hour.
Yep. Yeah.
Where he'll talk about, he calls it full stack hardware engineering, which I really like that term. So yep. you'll get to geek out with Eli, drink beer, learn about the sensor that he's developed. Yeah,
so I'm already curious. So that sensor, I'm assuming you say acoustic, it must be using sound waves to determine sort of density of the mash or to determine alcohol content, something along those lines?
It's actually measuring what's happening in the fermentation
yeah,
process. Right, yeah. So it Makes has, sense. And from what I understand, if you're a craft brewer, you mm-hmm. as an owner, you have to climb up a ladder, yep. open the top of that thing every single day, take a sample and mm-hmm. evaluate where it is in the fermentation process, which really ties you to the daily.
Yeah, so you could overshoot or potentially undershoot.
And right? it's not really good for the beer to open the lid every day. And so oh. they have figured out a way to put the sensor mm. right on the vat and measure it with audio. Mm-hmm. And then they integrated it with a cloud-based platform. So they have like an app. So you can be out on a yeah. boat with your family.
Right.
And
oh,
check
that's great.
In. Yeah. So it's a really fun technology. And again, he is the quintessential kind of guy that's, you right. know, our demographic.
And well, yeah, here's a problem and I got an idea to solve it. Yeah.
Right.
Great.
And so he'll be speaking
why,
about
why
it.
Why I keep coming to work every day, even though it's just I down know. The stairs from my bedroom, but you know.
I know. So those are the kinds of things that we hope to spin up for you guys. And again, as Lawrence said, it's free, but we'd like to cut you loose in a virtual room with Eli. You talk about, just like Lawrence did, ooh, how do they do that, right? You can right. learn about T-Zero, but you can also learn about Tin Whiskers beer.
Well, and I was going to say, Judy, and although not a sponsor of this podcast, I would say that's what they say on YouTube all the time. So I say know. It. There is no ulterior no. motive here. But Tin Whiskers, interesting company. If you guys like beer, on the your listeners, go to their website. It's really interesting. They've got a lot of different beers, and they're all electronics themed. It's really fun.
Yeah. So they have like Fourier IPA, and they have yeah. you know. With a wavelength, like a sine wave on the yeah. label. And they have a new one out that has dill in it, and it's called Deep Space Brine
yeah.
instead of Deep Space Nine. And so really it is, you know, hardware engineering's
yeah.
beer brand of choice.
If so, you like beer and you like engineering, which those I found to kind of go together pretty
they
well.
They do, for
yeah,
sure.
You'll like Tin Whiskers. You should have a look.
Yeah, I'll throw the link in the show notes.
Yeah, put the link in. That's great.
I will. And so these are the kind of things that we hope will as closely replicate that live experience. Let's talk about the format a little bit, Lawrence, mm-hmm. and some of the speakers. So, you know, back by popular demand, of course, is Rick Hartley.
Sure.
Eric Love Bogatin.
Him. Love him as well. Yeah.
Eli Hughes, who I just mentioned, a new person to our community, and I've sort of been exposing some of his content things to, is Steve Sandler.
Yeah,
who,
yeah.
Who's been on the podcast a couple times.
Sharp guy, yeah.
Sharp guy. Like, how do you model and do simulation for the entire space station?
Yeah.
Or the CERN accelerator. The guy's wicked smart. And so he's going to come talk about space simulation. Panels. You know, we're going to have some great panels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you sort of look at that agenda, what things do stand out to you, and what do you think that attendees can expect to take out of it?
Well, look, Judy, I said this last year in the live event, you know, when so if you recall before, the night before the opening day, opening salvo, and you know, Judy, how I prepare for my on stage is, I have a couple words with you and okay, great. Then I let it rip as we go. But I, you know, I was going to introduce Eric Bogatin, and he's just one example. Rick Hartley's another, Steve Sandler's another great example, but Bogatin specifically. You had given me his biography, you know, and I know Bogatin as a guy in the business 20 years in electronics, either design or in the business end of things for 20 years. He's always been there. So he's a bit of a household name. And it reminds me of people say, well, how is that person famous? I said, well, if you know their name, they're probably famous. And so I sort of put Bogatin, and that's probably a bit rude, Dr. Bogatin in that category, at least from this industry, which is, he's just, as long as I've been in the business, he's been there. But geez, you look at his resume and it's like MIT, PhD, teaches a course at Boulder, teaches courses, teaches PhD students at Boulder, obviously accomplished author. And for me, that's what you expect. You expect the rock stars of the industry. And for me, as a guy that, in my early part of my career with Altium, to, you know, Eric Bogatin had no clue who we were. And to now he's now year two. We just had a phone conversation with him, I think last week, you know, just the three of us, and to be on a first name basis with him. That's what you should expect. We're going to bring you some really valuable speakers, and they're not Altium zealots per se. And the content they produce and, or I should say deliver, is not Altium centric at all. And it's the who's who of the business. It really is. And not only that, but for me, they're great speakers as well.
Well, Eric, that's Bogatin, the thing about Bogatin. Until you saw his bio, the charm of Eric Bogatin is he seems very folksy. You know, while he asks questions, he throws chocolates to his participants. He makes the content very accessible. But yeah, PhD from MIT in physics. So, you know, one thing about Eric that I really respect is that he's like, Judy, there's different varieties of speakers in our industry. And he said, the difference between people like me, Sandler, you know, some of the people that we're going to have this year at Altium Live, he goes, is because if something wasn't working, we could actually go do the math.
Right.
And tell
not
you.
Just delivering content. This is unique works of theirs.
No, it's backed by science, right? And physics. Right. And so they said, we're not regurgitating what other experts have told us about. Right. And so, you know, Eli Hughes said to me the other day, he goes, he works a lot on digital signal processing. And he's like, I can either do this in really fancy simulation tools and all of that, or I can do it on an abacus. Right. It's the same story as his PhD from Penn State. And he said, and knowing and understanding it sort of fundamentally. So I love that we get to expose our attendees to that level of expertise.
Look, the authenticity of it for me, Judy, is what strikes me. I've heard now some of these speakers either before or through Altium Live, our Altium Live experiences, now multiple times. And you know, it's amazing to me as I learn something every time. And they have that depth to where it's new material each time that they've come back. And then, you know, like Rick Hartley specifically, you know, this is way off topic, but likewise, his speaking ability, there's just, for him specifically, I don't know what it is, but he's just riveting to me. Like his voice, I don't know what it is, but I just really enjoy his voice. And obviously he's an authority on the subject that he's discussing. And also, you know, look, all of the people that we have walked the walk. These people are deeply knowledgeable, but not only in an academic sense, right? They've also, you know, practical application chops, right? And this, every person we've ever had, if you look at, you know, Jeremy Blum in the past is a good example. He's a serial entrepreneur, legitimately. You look at, like last year we had Joe Grand, an actual hacker. And so when they talk about their experiences, it has a real depth. And I think that's, for me, that what Altium Live, I think why people appreciate it so much is the non-commercial nature of it, but the depth of incredibility of the speaking talent we have is just top shelf, really top shelf.
It is. And, you know, I'm not an engineer. I don't know what people like Eric Bogatin know, but I do know people quite well. And I've enjoyed relationships with these people for years.
They're great folks. They're
this is people, when yeah. You pat me on my back, boss, for bringing you all these cool people. But what I wanted to say about that is what they've taught me, Lawrence, is that there's a lot of garbage out there, a lot of garbage information.
Sure.
So I really appreciate that the content we're putting out has some depth and authority, because there's a lot of junk out there because we live in a blogging, vlogging, you know, regurgitating what other people said or a misunderstanding. And so mm-hmm. I think for our users and our audience and design engineers in general, how do they vet what's good? You know, it's a full-time job just to figure out what has authority. So I really appreciate that we're not putting junk food out there.
And that, I would say, is you know, we've now begun to use the brand of Altium Academy in the things we produce. And you know, look, as I said in the opening video last year at Altium Live, where do you go to get this education? Where do you go to get this education? And it's predominantly been an apprentice sort of job, right? And now we see the majority of our users are engineers, about 80% of them. Our electrical engineers, only about 15-20% of them have a title of PCB designer anymore. And it's just, but they're not being taught that in school. And just go, you know, for example, DDR5. Go to Google, look it up. There is no education in how to lay out DDR5. So this is what we feel, in order to expand the industry and obviously Altium's business as well, you know, we need to be providing those, that data, that education for our community. And as I said, I know it sounds a bit sort of maybe corny or altruistic, but irrespective of whether or not you're an Altium designer user or if you're a competitive user, we feel, you know, it's our responsibility to bring this to the industry. And Altium Live is just one example of that.
And, you know, sort of my own personal values, I think, are mirrored in all teams' values. And that is, you know, I'm like, the only reason to have something is so you can give it away. And so yeah. I feel like we're compelled by our success, right?
Sure.
To be of service in this way of education. And of course, there's business implications. We couldn't get budget and do the things we do unless there was an upside to our bottom line. But we don't do that in a sales forward kind of way.
Look, I don't need to sell anybody something they don't need, want, or desire, Judy. I just don't. So, you know, our job is to produce products that people need, want, and desire. And all these things we're talking about, are, you know, just enhance that experience and hopefully grow the industry for all of us that are in the business. Because, you know, look, it's an industry and we want to grow it for all involved. That includes the secondary stakeholders too.
Yeah. And it's that old saying, right? Rising tides raises all boats. Sure. And now,
right.
You know, we've assumed that leadership position really in the industry and PCB. And so, you know, when we provide these things, it really helps the whole industry, whether they're our customers or not. And, you know, I forgot to mention earlier, Lawrence, that I really agree with you about it being free and virtual, which we're all a little disappointed in. The thing that I've been hearing that I'm really excited about is there's people that may have a large design team, you know, 30, 40, 50 people on the design team, but they can only get budget to send two True. People.
Right.
Go to Altium Live and then bring it back and distill it for the rest of the team. Yeah. People, I've heard it 3, 4, 5 times now. People are like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Now my whole design team can go.
Right.
So that's the part that I'm looking forward to, because who can leave the office that long? The last thing that I neglected to mention is I had one of these, I've had a number of surreal calls since joining Altium, just because of the size and the weight of the company. And recently our colleague Matt Schwager reached out to both you and I and said, hey, you know, Altium 365 is mm-hmm. hosted on the Amazon Web Services platform, right? Because it's a cloud offering. And hey, they'd like to participate in Altium Live. And I'm like, yeah. The answer is yes.
Sure.
And so I had that conference call with Amazon, and we still have to hammer out the details, but for our listeners, it looks like Amazon's going to come
right.
and talk about that. And what I've asked them to talk about, and I think Lawrence agrees with me, is security. Security's sure. on everyone's mind. And I think sort of historically people have been reticent. If they have been reticent about using cloud platforms, that's been the problem. And so I had a really interesting conversation with them. So that's going to be a really fun feature. What are you going to do, Lawrence? You're sort of the king of the day on the sort of the Altium day where we, mm-hmm. you know, what do you imagine? I know it's early days yet, but what do you imagine we'll be sort of talking about on that day?
Well, so well, since the first event, when we launched Altium Designer 18, in the first Altium Live event, we've used, and this is really the only sessions we do, and this is because it is germane to the audience and they like it, which is we preview the upcoming release. And for the past couple of years, we've included heavy doses, obviously, of Altium 365. And so the first day of the event is really a platform to launch Altium Designer 21 and all the new developments with Altium 365. So last year, I think it's going to be tough to top, Judy. quite remarkable, where we took a design from literally zero, captured a schematic, created the circuit board, generated the outputs, did a mechanical enclosure integration, but did all of that worldwide. So we had people in Spain, we had people in
live.
France, people in Germany, for real, live, no smoke and mirrors.
No net, which was not typical.
No net. No, in fact, that's a hallmark Altium. We've had people come in from other organizations say, you actually demo your software for real? And we do. And this was an extreme example of that, where we used our newest product, Altium 3, or platform, I should say, 365, and showed how you could literally collaborate in real time around the world. I mean, did that live just using Zoom and Altium 365. I felt it was compelling, and the feedback corroborated that for sure. I suspect, Judy, what I'm thinking about is something similar, because that's the power, right? And you saw this when we went, COVID-19 really pushed the issue. You know, instantaneously, our industry was almost all industries were sort of forced to a remote working environment. And this ability to really connect from anywhere you might exist or need to work from, and connect with anyone that may have a a stake in the project, be that a, what we would refer to as a primary stakeholder, so a designer type individual, or a secondary stakeholder, be it like a manufacturing partner, an EMS, a fabrication partner, or a design consultant, or even just the supply chain element. So, you know, is this component available? What's the lead time? How many? What distributors offer it? Those sorts of things really were brought to the surface. So I suspect you'll get a heavy dose of that again this year, but we'll try to weave it throughout the event to really, really give people a sense of what's capable. And then, you know, layering on Amazon there to kind of get it from the horse's mouth from a security perspective, I think really reinforces the messaging.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be really powerful. And even with as compelling that that live demo was last year, mm-hmm. Lawrence, you know, you and I have talked about this. What I was shocked about is when COVID hit and we all had to go home, because I talk so much to many of our users and different things, is the number of people that called me up, but we shot the open source video,
ventilator
video, two
Same
V's.
Acronym. Yeah.
and the people that were involved in that project, sure. plus their manufacturers, and everyone came back to me afterwards and said, oh my gosh, this is going to change everything.
Sure.
Because even as an insider at Altium, you know, I'm even dubious about our own marketing, you know what I'm saying? So when we boldly say we're going to transform the industry, I'm right. like, well, I hope so, but we'll see. And when they
bold
started,
claim, Judy,
it's,
yeah.
it's an incredibly bold, and honestly, I didn't doubt it. What I doubted yeah. was the time frame in which we would do it.
Yeah.
And
well, it's been accelerated. There's no question about it. Yeah.
So when they all came back to me, and I did a series of podcasts, I'll throw them in the show notes, about how it affected them so immediately in the season of COVID when everyone yeah. was sent home, how it affected their design teams, the way that they're working more collaboratively now than ever, and that our tool was, you know, the underpinning of all that, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to transform the
we're
industry.
Doing it.
We're
well,
doing
Jay,
it.
Yeah, so if I could temper all of this goodwill that I've been sort of, you know, espousing, right, all this altruistic utopian views of the world and how Altium, you know, cares about the little guy and all this. And that, by the way, it's all absolutely true. But there's one thing I would say, look, we have, make no bones about it, we feel that this industry, from our perspective, right, from the things we produce for the industry, is going to be a winner-take-all sort of business, okay? We make no bones about it that we absolutely are doing everything within our power to be that winner. Now, that may sound aggressive, and it is, but as I said previously, the only way we're going to do that is certainly by producing experiences and products that our customers and potential customers and users need, want, and desire, and if it's providing real value. And I think Altium 365 is an excellent example of that. And, you know, look, anytime you produce something new, there's going to be doubters. But the COVID situation forced people into, oh my gosh, like this is real. I need to connect from a remote location. And my people are now, my stakeholders are now dispersed. And the beauty of, and I've said this before, you give our product team, I give our product team a huge amount of credit for not over-engineering it. It's really elegantly produced and really, I think the porridge is just the right temperature right now. Now, there's certainly a huge development arc for it. And since it's a SaaS product, that'll happen rapidly. But, you know, look, if you're an Altium subscriber, create a workspace and just start going at it. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm more than pleasantly surprised. I think you'll be ecstatic about what it really allows you to do. And anybody that says, well, I don't need to collaborate with people, that's ridiculous to me.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Everybody's collaborating with everybody, right?
Again, it's sort of an ironic thing that sometimes I doubt our own messaging, even though sometimes I'm part of crafting it.
Right.
But I will tell you that Dugan Karnazes, who was spearheaded the open source ventilator, He has a small engineering firm, Velocity Research. You know, there's four or five guys. They work in one 2,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
Sharp guys. But when he started using 365 for open source ventilator, they started using it on their team. And right. he said, this is so much more elegant and effective, you know, and then when they were all sent home, they didn't miss a beat. So yep. it really taught me you could have two guys and it's important. So anyways, enough well, I mean, of look, patting ourselves on the back, but it's so well, true. And the thing is, what shocked me was to hear an EMS company call me and then a fabricator call me. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Because it made their life so much easier.
Well, Judy, look, and I won't mention names because you didn't, and I know whom you're referring to, a couple of different folks. But
well, I'll name names.
You know, okay, well, Calumet.
Calumet is Rob Cook because he was on the podcast. And then Jerry Partita is yeah. someone that I, you know, the guy's done CAM front-end engineering on over 40,000 jobs in his career. I respect the heck out of this guy. He works for Summit Interconnect Technologies. And I called him like, Jerry, call up, you know, Rob Cook or Dugan, get on the horn. And I said, take this thing for a test drive and just tell me if you like it. And then what happened, Lawrence?
Well, he said sort of in an unprovoked way. I think you guys were doing the steering committee, and he says, "I just want to interrupt." And I said, "Well, you know that 365. You guys are going to transform the industry with that thing." So this is a bit of free marketing, I guess.
Well, but- and so and by the way, Jerry and Rob are both going to be on panels.
Yeah.
At all
but
team
that's just
life.
The excellent example, Judy. Look, you know, very few people have their own manufacturing or fabrication services in house, right? So,
right.
At a bare minimum, you have a necessity to collaborate with your manufacturer. And this, for me, I think is the simplest use case. We just continue to see designers and manufacturers get further and further and further apart as engineers take over more and more of the printed circuit board design responsibilities, and you know, design for manufacturer. I'm 45 years old, Judy. I've been in this business professionally for 20 plus years now, and I've heard DFM, entire companies devoted to DFM. Jerry Partita sat in my office, Tara Dunn at Omni PCB up in Minnesota. Is it Wisconsin or Minnesota? Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They all say the same thing. Every design goes on hold for some reason or another. Yet we've had DFM in vogue for all that time. Mm-hmm. And not saying DFM doesn't have its place, but there's just no replacement for rolling your sleeves up and bringing that manufacturer into the design process. And that is designing with your manufacturer. And I think that's why Jerry Partita and Rob at Calumet, that's what they saw. That's what they saw. Yeah. In fact, I won't name names here, but there's a manufacturer we speak to that says, oh, we have a special folder for designs that have been on hold for 40 days, for
routinely.
Greater than 40 days.
Routinely. Yeah.
And that is a problem.
Well, and we've been trying to, you know, me, you know, I've been marching around and blogging and ranting about this for more years than I care to count. And the ways that we try to, I just keep saying, go to your manufacturer, go to your EMS company. So we all have been throwing our hands up of the same thing, but trying to solve it in this very analog manner.
10%, instead of Judy, that's what we saw in Altima. How many people visit your manufacturer EMS? We have 10% of the hands go up. 10%.
And so, you know, this, now you get to visit your manufacturer virtually, you know, on a phone call. And I think the thing that came up with the OSV is that, you know, you have to do one design review, say, with your manufacturer. Depends on how you source your product. But let's just say you do it the old-fashioned way. You go through that up front with your fabricator. Then you go through another one with your EMS company. And there's, you know, your purchasing agent and materials manager, all these people in between you know, mucking up the waters. And so, you know, when those three guys that were involved in the OSV boards, getting those made, they got the EMS provider, the board manufacturer, and Dugan on the phone, and they reviewed five boards, fixed all the problems, create a perfect data package for the fab and the EMS company for five boards, and they did it in 20 minutes.
I know.
Like that almost, I'm so weird that like gives me chills. Like this is such a big,
I'm not going to go that far. Don't
tease me. That's how geeky I am. But, Lawrence. So I opened you up for that one. But no, it's true. It's like such a painful process that I personally lived in those gaps between fab and EMS.
Well, I know you did, Judy, and that's why you're so emotional about it.
When I go, oh my gosh, the amount of pain and cost and board spins and just 9 million other things that it solves, it, again, I'd sweep the floors here.
Well, if you're an Altium Designer subscriber and you have access, do yourself a favor. Just give it a go. Just create your workspace. Log into your Altium Live account. You'll see a button there and just have a go. Have a go. You'll be impressed. I promise.
Well, this has been a longer conversation than I thought we have, but I know we're both really excited about.
I don't do short conversations.
I don't either, as you know. So we can be troubled together. But anyways, Lawrence, thanks so much for coming on and talking
you,
through
Jay.
This. It's always a pleasure to have you. To our listeners, thanks so much for joining us today. I will definitely put the link to Altium Live. That is, as the website's live now, you can go register. It's free. We'd love to have you. As you can tell, we're excited about it. We're excited about the speakers we're going to serve up to you. So head on over there. I'll share the other links that Lawrence and I talked through in this conversation. And so go dig in and have some fun there. And, you know, stay tuned on social media and other places. We'll be releasing more and more information over the next few months. So again, Lawrence, thanks. I'll let you get back to work.
Sure.
Always appreciate your perspective. And to our listeners, thanks so much for joining us. Please remember to like, subscribe, and tell us what you want to learn about next time. Until then, stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.